This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We'll get going to flip the order here. We're going to get to Joe Witt Jr. coming up in 10 minutes. We're going to start with Cliff Kingsbury and what he had to say today in our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get rolling as we are behind schedule, but we can run a hurry-up offense, if you will.
Number one.
Jaden Daniels has not only been good, he has continued to grow. And so today, Cliff Kingsbury was asked yet again what he continues to see on the growth of his quarterback and if the Ravens perhaps are the best test yet for his rookie QB.
I mean, I said it from day one, like every day is another chance for us to see where he's at. You know, that's the approach we've taken, and that's the work he's putting in every day. He gets here at the same time and grinds at it every day, and we've just talked about making those incremental improvements every day and building from that. So they have a great defense. It'll be an awesome atmosphere, and I know our guys are excited.
Definitely, and they've already seen so much growth from Jaden, and last week was an interesting one because it wasn't like he had a perfect game all the way through, just in rhythm the entire time. He had to find it a little bit, which was something a little bit new, but hey, he did it.
I like the way he battled. He hit the big play to Terry, which is an unbelievable throw, a great play by those two guys, and then we turn it over going in. But I just like the way he battled. He stayed with it, kept his poise, and made some really good decisions in the second half. His operation in the 2 minute has really been exceptional in those scenarios. So that's encouraging if we can keep building off that.
One thing that's great that Cliff has done is he's continually been able to get the first down. And so whether it's in 2 minute or just in the flow of the game, they can get into that hurry up, get into that tempo. And it's not like they're always snapping the ball with 15 seconds on the play clock. Like, they'll run it down, but they don't let the other team sub. They have the versatility to do that and still be really effective from a lot of different things. And that has helped Jaden obviously be in positions to succeed. And Cliff has called great games. Jaden's executed at a high level. They both deserve equal amounts of credit. But they're not the only ones, which brings us to
number two.
And that is another group that has been playing really well, the offensive line. And it's not a five-man group. It's a six-man group, legitimately, as Cornelius Lucas and Brandon Coleman have been rotating at left tackle. Why has that worked so well?
Both are playing at a high level. I've been really impressed with both their attitudes and how they've handled that. It's not always easy rotating. You know, you want to be out there and you want to get in your rhythm, but both guys have really embraced it and made each other better. And with Brandon missing some significant time in the preseason, I think it allowed him to grow and will continue to allow him to grow. But I think more than anything, just both guys playing at a high level has allowed us to continue that.
And they have been able to find their rhythms while also maybe knocking off the pass rushers that line up against them out of their rhythms, because you're facing a different guy. It's harder to set up that move later when you're not getting all the snaps against the same guy. Typically, this doesn't work, but it has worked really well for Washington so far. I do think they probably eventually want to get to the point where Coleman is their guy, not just in the future, but this season. But for right now, it's working. Don't mess with it. And just keep on rolling, especially when the chemistry is as good as it has been. Something that Cliff has really appreciated about this O-line and how they work together.
Yeah, I think just like I said before, just the way they kind of can figure things out on the run together, the communication they have and their ability to, even if we just walk something through and maybe don't get a live rep at it, they're able to go into the game. And if there's an adjustment to be made, they can make it in real time and hit it and nail it. And that's been really impressive. So I know it wasn't a really hyped group coming into the season, but the way they've just worked and continue to work and continue to kind of support each other has been really, really cool to see.
And that starts off the field. Some of you may know this already. Some of you may not. Like, they get together every Thursday. And I'll give credit to, like, John Keim is where I heard this. But I'm sure others on the beat have reported it as well. But they get together every Thursday night. And they bond. And whether it is a nice steak dinner or whether it is they're going to go clean out a Five Guys. Can you imagine, Anthony? Just, like, you're working the counter at Five Guys. And here comes the Commanders' offensive line. And, like, before they get to the table, I would just turn around and be like, everyone start cooking. Cook what? Yes. More fries. Down. Burgers. Get the extra thing of cheese from the back. It's a lot of food.
And they also might need a sack of peanuts as well.
Yeah. Peanuts. Yeah, that's true. That is correct. Get it all. Apparently, I can't remember who it was. One of them, though, like, doesn't do, like, fries and milkshakes, just, like, more burgers. Like, two doubles and a single. I don't need to fill up on fries. Give me more meat.
That
sounds like Allegretti. He's a Chicago guy.
That's a lot of food, man. That's a lot of just
big fellas.
Yeah.
What's your Five Guys order?
Oh, I'm getting a double patty, some bacon, mayonnaise, ketchup. Maybe lettuce, depends on, like, how I'm feeling the day. But yeah.
Lettuce, depending on how I'm feeling today.
It's because sometimes when you ask for lettuce, you know what they do? They just throw it all on there. I don't want my sandwich to be that messy. I'm a clean eater when I eat. You know, I don't
so really never, like, never tomato.
I'll get a tomato at a different burger spot.
Okay.
But I wouldn't get it at Five Guys because the burger's already big. So if I add a tomato, now it's going to be even bigger. I don't need that.
Okay.
I like to be clean, you know?
There's a methodology. I don't fully understand it, but there's a methodology. And hey, it's your food. It's your order.
Have you seen the Burger King commercial where the guy has little hands?
Yeah.
I don't want that to be me. Yeah. Yeah, that's all.
Fair enough. All right.
Number three.
Off we go. Back to you, Cliff. Kingsbury also talked about the running game today, and if opposing defenses are starting to respect the offense's abilities on the ground, because obviously they've been so prolific through the air, but, you know, this running game's been pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's never really been what we've been trying to be about. It's more just maximize that week, what we can do offensively to score the most points. And so if we got to run it every play, we will. If we got to throw it, we'll throw it. But our guys have done a nice job. It helps when Jaden's adding, you know, those type of yards of his own. But that Baltimore rushing attack is vaunted right now, you know, when I watch their offense every week and what they're doing. So we'd have a long way to go to kind of reach that level.
They're doing a lot of similar stuff, though, stylistically. Of course, like, Brian Robinson's great. Derrick Henry's a Hall of Famer. You know, Jaden has been tremendous. Lamar is the best rushing quarterback in the league. He might be the only guy that's better than Jaden, but, like, Lamar's Lamar. Two-time MVP. Show some respect for what he's been able to do in this league. And so, yeah, their rushing attack's crazy good. But I do think what you've seen in watching defenses and how they've attacked Washington every week, you do see them starting to adjust to the Commanders' running game a little bit and some of the opportunities and the binds that you get put in. Of course, that is probably a good thing for Joe Witt Jr. and his side of the ball because they have to practice against that every week. They've thought a lot about it. Now you're going to see what they can do against Lamar. The back half of our pick six, where you hear from Joe Witt next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports. On the day, by the way, the WNBA Finals begin. We'll talk about that at 6:30. This look presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. All right, let us get to what Joe Witt Jr. had to say as part of the pick six. Of course, six biggest storylines of the day, and we, you know, go through them every day. And on Thursdays, the coordinators talk. And so off we go with Joe Witt Jr. and what he had to say about his defense.
Number four.
Number four in our pick six, which comes from Joe Witt Jr., is about the cornerback position. That is one that has been a cause of much talk this season. It is one that, you know, everyone's like, oh my God, what are they going to do? You know, at corner, is Emmanuel Forbes going to come back and play? Is it this? Is that? Then all of a sudden last week, there was no rotation. There was no, like, working guys back. It was Mike Sanders still on the outside. Noah Igbinoghene on the inside. Benjamin St. Juice on the other. So what have they seen from Mike Sanders still to say, like, hey, you've grown enough to be a number, I guess not number one, number two outside corner?
Mikey, you know, we've moved him inside and out. Last two games, he's played outside. And we put him to the field the last two games, and he's getting more comfortable there. He can play with vision. He played a lot more physical. He's covering well. So right now that's where we need him to be, and so he's going to find a home back inside at some point. But from where the defense is right now, we need him to the field.
So there you go. It's you know, switching sides depending on which side there's more space to cover. That means he often has help on the inside, like with the nickel player, depending on the formation, obviously. But there's always going to be certain support to the field that they rely upon. Big picture, he did hint that, hey, we want to eventually get him back inside. But why outside? And did you think that this was a possibility back in training camp?
Oh, yeah, we knew he can play both inside and outside. You know, ideally, you know, we started him playing at the star position, but you know, we play guys, like I told you, each week we change up for what we need to do to win that particular game, and so that's what we've been doing.
And I do think that that's an important point, right? Like, there is a chance that we see Emmanuel Forbes, for instance, again in a different matchup later on this season. Well, also, like, things happen, but on Forbes, like, why was there no rotation last week? This was a guy that was the starter, got injured. What's going on here?
Well, that's same as the Mikey question, playing to the field. We're each week going to play the guys in position that we feel best, that gives us a chance to win that particular game. And so, you know, that's how I can answer all those questions of the number of reps that anybody's playing at any position. That's what we felt that was best for that week.
And they go in with the plan, and that plan doesn't work. I think they move things around. And I say that because Dan Quinn, when I asked him post-game about the corner rotation last week at Northwest Stadium, almost said the old name, but that's not who pays for it anymore, at Northwest Stadium, DQ said, no, it was working, so like, why would we change it? So I think that they probably divide up the reps on some level with anticipation, but also depending on what they think based off the matchup. Now, playing Mikey outside has also opened up the spot inside for Noah Igbinoghene, who has played very, very well and was with Dan Quinn and Joe Witt in Dallas last season. What has been the growth for Noah that has made him one of the best options that they've got?
You know, we got him late last year when we were in Dallas, and you know, with the trade, when we traded Fat for him, and we had, you know, a number of guys that were just ahead of him, and with him coming in there late, he came in here at the same time with everybody else, and he was able to put his performance out there, and he's earned the right to go out there and get the reps in the starting position that he's getting. So he just, when in Dallas, he came late, and he was behind the eight ball a little bit.
I mean, he was really, really good in training camp. Not like amazing, not, hey, he has to play, but he definitely showed an ability in training camp. You're like, I think they could probably rely on that guy. And outside, and you know, when he was called upon early, not as much, but all of a sudden you put him inside and he shows a physicality and a competitiveness that really is beneficial. So I'm excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season if they need him, or, you know, maybe Emmanuel Forbes reemerges outside and you get the, you know, Mikey back inside, and that can be the group that you rock with. But they're definitely going to be open-minded about it. And so it's going to be something that we continue to track.
Number five.
This weekend, of course, Joe's unit, they got to track Derrick Henry. And that is particularly tough, and especially hard when you are worried about Derrick Henry to one side of the run, and like, what happens if they fake it to him and Lamar Jackson starts running the other way? Very, very difficult run game to defend. Joe Witt Jr. on doing that very difficult task.
Well, it starts with, you know, Todd Monken. I was with him in Cleveland in 2019. Extremely smart guy. They have a mobile quarterback that can beat you with his arm and his legs. They have a big running back downhill that's faster than you think. And then they have a smaller running back that runs with more power than you think. So, they, you know, 43 and 22, both of them are really good players. The offensive line's big, but they can get on people. And so they're just they're good, and they know what they're doing. They know how to scheme it up. They do a nice job.
They certainly do. They have every run in the book in. They can run power. They can run inside zone. They can run outside zone. They can run gap scheme. They can run pin pull. They can run zone read. They'll run reverses and end arounds and all that kind of stuff with their receivers like Zay Flowers. They'll do it with Justice Hill coming around on a jet sweep. Like, there is a lot of different stuff that they do in their running game. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how Joe Witt Jr. dedicates his resources. And I'm also curious because, you know, Joe mentioned the uniqueness of Derrick Henry there. And Logan said something this morning that I thought was interesting, is that, like, despite his size, he plays like a speed back. Like, he's big enough that he will stiff arm you through the earth. He is hard to tackle because he is just so large. But he's not like a Marshawn Lynch power style runner. He runs like a fast guy, and he is a fast guy, which makes stopping him very, very difficult.
You're not necessarily approaching him when you're approaching the offense. Okay, you got to be in your gap. You have to be able to defeat blocks, send them where you want them to send them, and in that standpoint, from a tackling standpoint, you know, you talk about, and this every week, it's not just with Derek. You have a tackling plan for every back that you have, and you try to stick to the plan. And so we have our tackling plan for him, just like we had it last week, and that doesn't change.
It's what that tackling plan is, and executing that becomes a lot harder against a back like Derrick Henry. You know, corralling him is hard because he's fast, like legitimately fast, one of the fastest ball carriers in the NFL every single year. You know, when the list comes out, he breaks, you know, an 80-yard run seemingly every single year. He's already gotten a couple that are nearly that long this year or longer. He's a unique guy. And you talk about corralling and getting to the football, like trying to tackle him with one is a nightmare. You got to send him where you want to send him. That way you got multiple bodies there waiting on him, because that is about the only way to bring that dude down.
Number six.
Now, of course, the Commanders are in the spotlight, and a lot of that is about Jaden and the offense. So is that something that Joe Witt Jr. enjoys? Like, hey, we're just going to chill here in the background and work on our craft? Or does he feel like his unit perhaps needs a little bit more attention, deserves a little bit more attention?
Oh, I'm not necessarily looking for any type of attention. I'm looking for better play. You know, Jaden, he's getting all the attention that he's getting because he's played outstanding, and that's what comes with it. And so the only thing I care about is winning football games, and I'm glad he's our quarterback. And so we're trending the right way the last couple of weeks, and it's gonna keep going that way for the defense. We're gonna start making a little bit more splash getting this ball. The physicality is definitely there. But I don't care about being in darkness or light. I just care about winning. That's the only thing I really care about.
Was there any doubt that that's what Joe Witt was going to say? Like, Anthony, if I had told you, hey, we're going to play this, here's the title of the, or here's the question. What's Joe Witt's answer? Was there any fiber of your being that thought it would be anything other than, nah, we're good. Just keep winning.
No.
Here's the difference, though. Do you believe it? Do you actually believe him?
I think as a competitor, deep down, he does want the team, or the defense, I guess, because they still haven't had an interception through five games.
Right. No, there's things that he wants, but I think he wants the play. Like, I think what he said is true. I don't always think that coaches are like that. Like, this is what makes the staff special, and like Dan special, and Cliff special, and Joe, and like Anthony Lynn is just floating in the background. Guy's a former NFL head coach, and he's not getting nearly the credit that like Cliff is, because Cliff's the OC. Like, that's how it works. If Lynn gets elevated to the OC and they do the same stuff next year, like, it'll be the same deal. I would guess, by the way, Tavita Pritchard, if they went internally, would get it. But that's a different story. The point is, like, there's so many guys that contribute. There's quality control coaches whose names people have never heard of that are doing really important stuff. As long as you win, it don't matter. And as long as your unit's playing well, like, that's the thing for a coordinator. Like, if they're winning in spite of Joe Witt's defense, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm happy we're winning, but like, this sucks. I gotta get better. And that's where he was the first couple of weeks of this winning streak. So I actually believe it with him that he is just about playing better ball and winning, as opposed to some people that are like, they want to do that for the attention, not for the winning.
Mm-hmm.
So salute to you, Joe Witt Jr. You tell no lies. at least ones that we've been able to parse out yet. All right, Sop and Chope, we're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, actually, there's one of two things that we're going to do. And I need to talk to Anthony about which one we do. So stay tuned to figure out what we decide next. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and we have chosen to give you a nice little treat. Yeah, that sounded very weird. I apologize. I'm sorry on principle. But I'm not sorry for what we're about to do for you, which is let you hear our interview from earlier in the show. Dyami Brown joined us off the top of the show today, and he was fantastic. And we realized that because it was at 4 o'clock, the chances that many of you listening now, as you drive home at 6:30, work a little bit later, probably didn't hear that. And while we would love for you to check out all the show parts of the show that you missed on the podcast or whatever, this was good enough to bring it back a second time. So here's my chat earlier to open today's show with Commanders wide receiver Dyami Brown.
Oh man, for us, you know, we always want to stay focused on the task that's at hand. We don't want to make anything too big of what's going on, so we don't want to hype ourselves up, you know, to psych us out of anything. We just want to stay focused and stay on that grind.
For sure, for sure. And I know it's always hard to be reflective in the middle of stuff, but I know you've put in a ton of work the past bunch of off seasons, something that you chronicled on YouTube. I did kind of chuckle. You know, you did a bunch of episodes in certain off seasons. This season, you're just like, here's everything I did. I'm putting in an hour, one video, bang. As a content creator, lots of respect for that, Dyami, first of all. Second of all, to see the work pay off in a different way. Because what's it been like for you to be more involved as a pass catcher? You've been a great blocker. You've done all this other stuff, great on special teams. But for that offensive part of your game to come through as a wide receiver, what's that meant to you so far this season?
Oh, man, it means a lot, you know, just to be able to do the things that I do in order for us, you know, to help us contribute to that win. I think a lot of times, you know, things can get kind of frustrating or anything, but at the end of the day, you know, I know the work that I put in, and then I know what I can do as far as the game goes as well. So for me, I just want to go out there and help the team do the best that we can do.
For a wide receiver who's asked to do a lot of dirty work, like how, I don't have a better way to ask it other than how much easier is it when also you see the ball a little bit more to just stay engaged in the game? Like, you know, if you're playing pickup basketball and you're just like, hey, can I shoot it every once in a while? Like if you ask me to set screens, you can do all that kind of stuff. Not that you're not a great team guy, just like, does it make going to work a little bit more fun?
Oh, yeah, it definitely makes it fun. And, you know, I want everybody to do good. You know, at the end of the day, you know, for me, just to get those few touches, just to show what I can do, you know, it means a lot for me, just to build a confidence thing as well. But I think at the end of the day, you know, I think a lot of us can do good in this offense and with this team. So I think at the end of the day, all we have to do is stay where we continue to do what we do, and we can turn out victorious.
Dyami Brown with us here on the Hoffman Show. I know DQ has talked about OZ as a guy in your room who is just an incredible cheerleader for everybody else. Obviously, he's been you know, he's one of those guys who's helping you on the field as well. What's it been like to have Alamide specifically in the room and that veteran presence that he's brought and kind of the energy he brings to the offense and specifically the wide receiver room?
Oh, man, I love OZ, you know, and he brings a lot of energy. It's like, man, he's almost like a bad little kid out there. Jump off the tree if you want to. But, nah, but you know, that's the energy that we need, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, any help that anybody can use, you know, and as far as his game and the things that he can do, you know, come out the backfield or play a wide out, you know, anything, any small little detail things that all of us can add to our game can help, and it's very beneficial.
I was going to ask, is there a good example that you can give us, Dyami, a story about how one of the other receivers in the room, or maybe a guy like Zach out of the tight end room, has helped you? Because you all have some overlapping skill sets, but you all have like kind of one thing that's a little bit different from everybody else, whether it's Luke, OZ, Terry, Noah, on down the list. Is there something that you've pulled from someone else's game that you could share with us?
Oh man, I think with OZ, the run after catch is something that I definitely learned from him. You know, it's kind of weird when like those little slot guys they know how to move a little bit. I want to move like that too. But you know, things like that. Then with Terry, like the professionalism that he has, you know, it means a lot, and it's kind of good for me as well too, because you want to attack the day like that. You know, at the end of the day, there's different ways to get better. And you can learn from each and every guy that's in that room.
So I actually was very curious to ask you about this once we knew you were coming on, and I heard something that Dan said yesterday, which he said, you guys are working on breaking tackles, which to me is such, it feels like something from the outside. It's like, either got it or you don't. Like, some guys are really good at it. They know how to move. Right. They know how to shake. How do you, if you can share with us, like, how do you learn at the NFL level how to break tackles? I know that's such a simple question, but it's something that I never really thought about you guys drilling. It's just kind of like, hey, you drill the routes, you drill all this. How do you work on breaking tackles at the NFL level?
Man, I just think I want to say you're actually learning how to break a tackle. I just think you go through, you know, you go through a different process of, you know, learning how to break tackles. I think it's just when you see a defense pursue, it's like, okay, what can I do to make a guy miss? Can I use a stiff arm? Can I juke? Can I just stick or something like that? Things like that, because you're not just gonna be able to, okay, boom, I'm gonna just break this tackle right here. Nah, you have to go through that process, and you really have to do it every day, and it has to like be like a mental thing, like a repetition thing.
So it's much more of like sharpening the skills every single day that you already have versus like, we're going to teach you how to do whatever. And it's part like the pursuit angles and things like that. So it's kind of making something that feels very natural, technical in a way.
Right. Because then it all just depends on what you have in your bag. You know, a lot of guys, I'm about to juke, or some guys like to run over. Some guys don't run people over, so they like to juke. It's different ways to break a tackle in this league.
And if you're a white tight end, you're morally obligated to try to leap over somebody once a year. Is that like yank
one,
off
one
and,
leap,
and
one
Zach?
Leap and,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one leap in a truck. That's it.
that's the entire white tight end toolkit. De'Ami Brown's with us here on the Hoffman Show. And for you, you have been really effective this year on some of the screens as a screen runner. Is that something that you've always felt that you are good at? Because it's something we haven't seen a ton from you. Or is that something that in this offense that you've learned how to do it and then they realize like, oh, this guy's good at this and they're giving you a few more of those opportunities?
Man, I've ran a screen in a long time. This year might have been like the first year I done had a couple of screens. But for me, it was just, you know, just do what I can do with this opportunity that's given. And it wasn't learning how to run a screen. I don't care how I get this ball. If it has to be a screen, I'm going to try to make something happen with it.
No, I hear you, man. And then, of course, I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about your quarterback. Any wide receiver, we're always going to ask about the quarterback when he's the number two pick in the draft and playing as well as he is. You know the questions are coming. But it seems like everyone's pretty excited to talk about Jaden. When in the offseason did you know? Because, like, obviously people know you were at Carolina with Sam. Like, you've had good relationships with him and with some of the other quarterbacks here. So this is not meant to disparage any of those guys at all. But when in the offseason did you be like, this cat's different? There's something about him that I have not seen before since I've been in Washington.
Man, the first couple of days of practice, and you saw his aura early on, you know, and his poise and his confidence early on, and things like that, you know, it kind of like, as a rookie, you don't really see it from many quarterbacks just because of the learning aspect. They're trying to learn and make sure that, you know, they can get everything down or they don't want to make any mistakes. But for him, he just came out relaxed and he just was being him. And the first couple of days, I just knew it. And I had said it from the beginning, like, man, we're going to be a good team with this guy.
And so far, so good. 4-1. Last minute here with De'Ami Brown on the Hoffman Show. Cliff, we've obviously heard a lot about him and his coaching style and the walkthroughs and all that kind of stuff. I'm curious how different it's been for you with Bobby this year, because he was here last year. Your receiver coach, Bobby Engram, for the audience who may not know who I'm talking about. What's been different for Bobby this year under Cliff compared to being under Bobby in a different system and a different organization last year?
I say Bobby as a person, he really been the same. You know, he's always been, you know, honest with us and everything. He's been helping us develop. So he'll, you know, put us through things that we would need, like for the game plan and stuff like that. But I think this year, the biggest difference is just having that time to connect with us a little bit more, you know, as far as like how meetings and stuff was going. Like last year we walked through, but we didn't have too many walkthroughs and stuff like that. And then we didn't have too much meeting time separate. So I think that would be the biggest difference, just him connecting with us and being able to talk and, you know, really learn from him, you know, since he's been in the game, you know, he's been in this league for a long time. So just him being able to, you know, connect with us a little bit more, I think that'll be the biggest difference.
For sure. And speaking of meetings, you got to run to some. Really appreciate the time, De'Ami, and let's do it again later on in the season. Best of luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
All right, that was Deami Brown with us off the top of the show today. That's why you can't miss a minute. You never know. You might miss Commander's player. You might miss great analysts. You might miss something silly that Anthony does.
Something I do?
Yeah.
You might be right.
Yeah. Don't pretend like you just, you're on the, yeah, eat your popcorn. You're so close to eating your popcorn without getting the board all messy.
So I was eating the popcorn. You know how you like peel the bag open, like angle it with at a corner?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you're going that way. So you just shovel it in your face.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I would show the audience, but I'd rather not.
It's probably smart. Save that. Some things are not meant to be on camera.
Precisely.
And moving on. Coming up next, quick preview of the WNBA Finals that kick off tonight. And big show announcement of a big guest tomorrow. Yes, and what else, Anthony? And we have to pick Thursday Night Football.
There it is.
All right, all that. Man, a lot of show, not a lot of time left. Don't go anywhere, as they say. All right, we have a lot to do and like 6 minutes to do it. Last little bit of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We stream live on YouTube as well. We didn't mention this during Never Read the Comments, Anthony, but I almost pulled this one. I will self-congratulate. We have people that are very happy that we do stream live on YouTube on top of all the places because they live internationally. And the Odyssey app is amazing nationwide. It does not travel to – it doesn't have its passport, if you will. And so there's people that used to live in the U.S. and we got a comment from one, used to live in the U.S., loves the show, and then couldn't listen anymore. And then because they moved overseas, and then we popped up on YouTube and they're like, oh my God, the show. So we're here for everyone all around the world.
Yes, sir. Global.
As far as I know, we're not banned anywhere, which is nice. All right. So that's that. That's where we are. That's who we are. I've now wasted a minute of our precious time. Let's get on to it. Anthony, do we pick Thursday Night Football or do the big show announcement first? I don't even know if you know about the show announcement. You kind of do.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. It's been confirmed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, John Kine. Pew, 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 pew. No, it's okay. The air horns on a guest, those are reserved for Mitchell.
Okay. That's fair.
I don't know what kind of music John gets, but John Kine, the one, the only, he is with us tomorrow, 5 o'clock for Not My Beat. It is his beat, and it has been his beat for 30 years. Not quite 30. You're not that old, John. But
we're
getting close. It's been like 27.
That's okay. I'm gonna tell him.
He'll be like, yeah, well,
it's been 27.
It's something like that. It might actually be 30. Cause it's 20. I think he started in 94.
Oh, yep.
So it might be 30.
That predates me.
Has John been on the beat longer than you've been alive?
Yes, Craig. I was born in 96.
You were born in 96?
Yes. We are millennials. You and I.
Yeah, we are.
We're part of the same generation, but barely.
Barely. Barely. Wow. That's a tough hit for Cakes. He looks great, though.
Yes.
He does. Still agile.
Uh-huh.
See him with the quickness sometimes in training camp.
Yes, sir.
When he goes and tries to poke you on one shoulder and then run around because he's still a kid at heart.
We all are.
Old John Kine. Young John Kine. The point is, John's with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Okay. That's that. That's the show announcement. Thursday Night Football. 49ers, Seahawks. Who you got?
Who do you got?
The 49ers.
I got the 49ers too.
Is that because I picked the 49ers?
I think so. Nah, I'm going with the 49ers. I just think that eventually they will find their groove.
I agree. There's a simpler explanation for this. The Seattle Seahawks played 2 football games in like 6 days, and now they're on to number 3 in like 9.
Yeah.
So the 49ers, yeah, it's Thursday night. That's tough. It's tougher when you went Monday, Sunday, Thursday.
That's brutal.
So I'm gonna take the 49ers on that. Although there's a chance that George Kittle doesn't play, which definitely hurts.
Reek Woolen isn't playing.
Yeah, that's not new.
Byron Murphy's not playing either.
Are the inactives out? Now you got it official? Is that what just happened?
Yep.
Can you see if Kittle's playing?
They only put out the Seahawks right now.
Okay. Well, that's typically not how that works, but I guess the 49ers do have a few more minutes, I guess. Anyway, so that's the either way, I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers tonight. Anthony is also on the 49ers. We'll see how he did, and we'll pick the rest of the games tomorrow. Last but not least, before real things, if we even have time for real things, WNBA Finals. Speaking of predictions, we got to make it for the series, Anthony. I am taking the New York Liberty in five games over the Minnesota Lynx. There's so much to like about the Lynx. Nafisa Collier's having an outstanding year. But I do think that Jonquel Jones is the difference maker in the series, the center for New York, who has been such a huge factor for them this year. And if you look at the numbers this year, even though Minnesota won the season series and won the Commissioner's Cup, Breanna Stewart went bananas against them. And part of it is because Jonquel pulls their rebounders away from the rim. And Stewie had like a 38-18 game and like a 17-17 game. And I think the rest of New York can, like, I think she can do that again. And the rest of New York will show up.
Ah, forgot to turn my mic on.
It helps for radio.
Good gracious, 38. I did see
they
those
lost
numbers.
That game, by the way, where she had 38 and 18. But I think like Sabrina and others will show up, and Jonquel.
I think that's the difference for the Liberty in the postseason. Sabrina has shown up,
she's
man.
Been a dog.
She is putting up some crazy scoring numbers because I think during the season. You know, she was scoring, but like she wasn't dropping 30 and 6. Like she was more so just being a facilitator. But I think if she can be as aggressive as she's been in the playoffs, I think that presents a huge problem for the the Lynx. However, I think I'm with you, Craig. I think the series against the Connecticut Sun has prepared the Lynx for whatever. Because again, the Connecticut Sun, most physical team in the league. And
true.
It's not only that, you know, they were able to get past their physicality, they were still scoring effectively. And Nafisa, she's just a problem. I don't think they have anybody that's going
to
guard her.
I think you have to put Stewie on her. Like, I think the one person who is built to be as mobile, as long as everything as versatile is Nafisa Collier, the only other player in the league who is in her class in terms of well-roundedness to their game, although Asia Wilson's like hitting threes off pin downs now. But like Asia's better than both of them. But the two next best players and the only two comparable players from skill set, size, length, everything are Stewie and Collier. And so I think you put Stewie on her and you see what happens. And I don't think that Minnesota has an answer for Jonquel. And the Courtney Williams, Sabrina Ionescu matchup is huge. Courtney's quick. Mm-hmm. She can put a lot of pressure on you. She's going to make Sabrina guard, but Sabrina is like, she's got some size.
Yeah.
So whether it's as a post player and backing her down, whether it's, you know, as an offensive rebounder, I think is a huge thing. So that's kind of the stat that I'm looking for, is like, how many second possessions does New York get in this series? So that starts tonight, 8:00 on ESPN. I got New York in five. You have?
I have the Lynx.
Minnesota in?
Five.
Okay.
So you have New York.
Yes, I have New York.
And I have the Lynx.
You do.
56-30.
That means that our show is over right now.